7, 24 through 27. We've been in a series here called Foolish for the last 4 weeks, and I really want to try to wrap this up and get into some things here, and I hope it's been blessing you. We've been talking about the wisdom of God and how important it is that not only do you, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, it's supposed to change your life, okay? Now, what happens a lot of times is people come to Christ, their life don't change in 2 weeks, and then they look up and they're like, God, what's up? This don't work. And that's foolish, because the Bible says that when you follow Christ, it's just that. You follow him, which means you take on his ways, which means that you listen to his teachings, and as you adopt them, your life begins to change. And I'm evidence of that. Been serving God for over 25 years now. And let me tell you, I was a knucklehead before I got saved. And my brother Vince can attest to that because he was a knucklehead with me. But seriously, I should not be doing, or I should not have the life that God has given me. But it was through salvation and then following his word. And we still have a lot of Christians that think, okay, I get saved and I go to church. No, church is simply the vehicle to teach you the ways of the kingdom so your life can change. But we still got a lot of people that treat church like we used to treat it in the Catholic Church, which was we go to church, we do the ritual, and then we're good. This is not a ritual. Amen? Amen. This is instruction from heaven that we learn how to change our lives. That's where we gather around the word of God. We gather around his presence. We worship him. But then we hear the word because the word is the instructions on how to live a better life. But we have a problem in today's church. We've got people that are always hearing the word, just not doing it. And the Bible says something about that. You know what it says? That's foolish. And let me prove it to you right here. Jesus teaching on the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, here it is, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that I'm not just speaking a nice message or some nice thoughts, but I'm speaking the very word of God, Lord. And I thank you that your word promises us that it will not go back in vain, Lord. It will accomplish what you set out for it to accomplish. And I know your word is on a mission today. We just take authority over every distraction in the place. We just take authority over every wrong spirit that would try to keep the people of God from hearing the word of God. And Father, we ask that the heart of the Father would come in this place. And as you speak wisdom through me, your vessel, Lord God, I pray that we would receive it as love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. So not only does Proverbs in the Old Testament have a lot to say about being foolish and about the wisdom of God, Jesus himself taught some very strong things about being wise and being foolish. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, as it's called, it starts in Matthew chapter 5, runs all the way through the end of Matthew 7 here. And as Jesus teaches all these profound things, he ends the whole thing by telling this story right here and instructing the people and saying this. He uses this analogy of a wise man building the house upon the rock and a fool building house upon the sand. Now, we know this to mean that the wise man is basically building upon the word of God. We know the rock is symbolic of building on God's word. And the fool is building on sand, which is also an analogy for flesh. For remember, we were formed out of the dust of the ground, out of the sand, so to speak. That's what our flesh is made of. And so when the Bible says the fools build on the flesh, the wise build on the word, we have to ask, which category do you fall in? Because just because you're sitting in a church building for 2 hours on a Sunday does not make you a wise master builder. It could very well make you a fool. Because what Jesus was talking about here is what makes you a fool is when you hear the word of God, but you don't do it. And there is where we see the line drawn in the sand there. You see, because fools hear, but they don't do. But what does the wise do? What is God trying to get us to do in being wise? What the Father is trying to get us to understand is this. If you're going to be wise, everything you build must be built on the foundation of God's word. Write that down. Circle that in your Bible. I want you to really get that. That the foundation that God has called us to build, whatever it is we're building, must be built upon his rock. And if you don't build upon the rock, Jesus says, you're a fool. Now, understand this. Jesus is not just trying to be mean right here. He's trying to tell you, why do you want to build upon the rock? And he says it like this, because storms will come. This we know for sure. Can you stand the rain? No. Bring it back in. But he says that. Storms are going to come. Floods are going to come. Rain's going to come. It's going to come. And if your life is founded on God's word, you'll stand. But if your life is not founded on God's word, and even though you call yourself a Christian, even though you come to church, if you're not living a life based on God's word, guess what's going to happen when the storms come? Oh, and they're coming. Guess what happens when the water rises and you go through some hard times? The Bible says whatever you've built will crumble. And this is what we see in the church a lot of times. Because we got people that have prayed a prayer and have asked Jesus to be a part of their life. Yes, they don't, yet they don't do any of his word. They don't do any of it. And so they build a life. They begin to build a life and they get married and they build marriage upon their ideas of their tias and culture and their family culture and different things. And they try to build a marriage based on American culture instead of basing it on God's word. And then when the tough times come, the rains fall, the floods come, they wonder why it can't stand the rain. They begin to build families on ideas, cultural ideas, and Western civilization, and whatever books they read outside of God's word, and all these things, and they have kids, and they raise God's kids apart from the word, and they wonder why they end up in a courtroom at the age of 14 with tears in their eyes, begging a judge, don't send my mijito to jail. Why do those things happen? And here's the sad thing. It's happening in the church almost as much as it's happening in the hood. I've had tons of times I've had to counsel parents that were in church that were going through circumstances like that. And I'm not casting judgment. I'm just saying, what if the family would be built on God's word, like he said wise people would do, rather than building on fleshly things like sand? What would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. We'd have different results. And that's not to say hard times won't come. That's not to say mistakes won't be made. That's not to say the rains aren't going to come. But here's what it would say. You and whatever you're building will stand. And I just don't get how we can be followers of Jesus Christ and yet still not adopt his ways. I just don't get that. See, we've got to think about something here. Follower of Christ. You know what that means? How many of you remember Simon Says back when you were a kid, right? Simon Says, lift your hand. You better lift your hand or you're out. We got people that say they're followers of Christ, yet they don't walk with him. We walk opposite. But yet we say, I'm a follower of Christ. You're not following Christ. Because if you follow Christ, you adopt his ways. And that's what Jesus says. You are wise to do such things. Are you tracking with me today? Look at James chapter 1, 22 through 24. James chapter 1 says it like this. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You're deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And yet I see this all the time. We come into on Sunday service. We connect with our identity. We connect with our Heavenly Father. We connect who we are in God. And then somewhere around Thursday night, we begin to forget who we are. Come on, somebody. And we begin to take on another form or other ways. Some of you, it don't even take till Thursday night. Some of y'all, it happens Sunday in the parking lot. And you check your text, and there's your crazy friend, whatever his name is. I don't want to say a name. Somebody's in here. You check that text, or it's that, you know, that side piece. Hello. And you already gotten things going and cooking for later on this week as you're pulling out the parking lot. Even though every week we gather together, we hear the word of God. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll do, we'll excuse it because we'll look around and go, well, so-and-so's doing it. Well, I ain't the only one. Listen, God the Father is talking to you today. Tell your neighbor on your right, he's talking to you. Dang, someone got yelled at over here. That's all right. That's all right. Tell him. Tell him, man. So understand this. What's this? What are we talking about? A fool builds on sand. Sand is another form of dust, which is our flesh. Our flesh was made out of the dust of the ground. When you build a life based on fleshly decisions, you're going to have problems when it rains. You're going to have problems when the flood comes. You can't get into a relationship and base it simply on fleshly things. Listen, you got to manage your business based on God's word, his principles, not just on fleshly things, things that you could feel, see, touch. Your intellect will limit you. But what would happen if everything you're building, you'd begin to go to God's word first and do what his word says? Jesus tells you what will happen. You will prosper. And when the tough times comes, and when the economy dumps, and when you lose out on certain investments, because you've built on God's word, you will continue to stand. Remember, it's not promising nothing's going to go wrong. It's simply saying when it goes wrong, you're going to be all right. Are you tracking with me today? But that's a wise person, but a fool who builds only on the dust. They only build on what makes sense to them. They only build according to what makes sense. And that's where we lose a lot of well-meaning, God-loving folks. They cannot submit to God's word over their intellect and what makes sense. And so when you trust in your intellect and you make sense and all that makes sense, sometimes the word of God can cause you to stumble unless you've decided in your heart that if God's word says it, that settles it, you're going to have a hard time in life. You're going to be one that is wavering. See, the Bible tells us this, that rock is an anchor to our soul. That no matter how my mind, my will, and emotions get out here, you get all in your feelings, the word always brings me back. Are you tracking with me today? See, some of you don't have that anchor. That's why if we make you mad, you're going to leave the church. Got real quiet in this Baptist church today. See, that's why if somebody does something wrong to you, you're going to go off on them. You have no anchor. See, I get my feelings hurt, too. I get offended, too. I'll get way out here in my feelings. Come on, how many of y'all get in your feelings every now and again? And the rest of y'all just lying. We'll pray for liars later. Pray for that sin later on. We all get up in our feelings out here for a minute. But you know what always brings me back? The word. After I have my little pity party and I'm all mad because somebody did me wrong, didn't treat me right, the word always says, now, you know you got to forgive them. Yes, Lord, I do. Well, you know, you better forgive them. Yes, Lord, I know I better forgive. You know, if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. Okay, Lord, I'm back. That's what the word of God will do. Some of y'all don't have that governor. Some of y'all will leave a great godly friendship because they hurt your feelings, because they make a mistake. And listen, you need the word of God, because living like that, you're going to be tossed to and fro in the storm. That means when something happens, you're going to fly over here, and then you're going to be there until somebody does something to you. Then you're going to fly over here, and you've got no substance. You've got no consistency, and you've got nothing to build on because you're flighty and flaky. See, that's what happens. But somebody that's grounded and has built their life on the word, we may get out here a little bit and get our feelings hurt. Man, that was jacked up. Forget them. I don't even want to talk to them again. And then the word says, now, wait a minute. You know those people love you. You know they're not perfect. They make mistakes like you. What about when you did this, this, and this? Okay, word, I hear you. I forgive them. and I'm not going to let go of that relationship. Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, the word will always bring you back as an anchor because those times are going to come. They'll come in a marriage. But some of you are not anchored to the word of God. So you will go from this place. You're only with this man until he hurts you. Listen, I don't want to be married to somebody like that because our marriage would have been done a long time ago. Because why? I'm imperfect. I have hurt my wife without even trying to, without even meaning to. I mean, on accident. Thank God she wasn't one of those women that just said, well, forget you. You're going to hurt me like this? Well, I'm going to hurt you back. Don't want to be married to one of them either. Just look straight ahead if you are. Hallelujah. I'm praying for you. Shondo, blink 3 times if you need help. We'll get you. We'll get you. Hallelujah. But the word is what anchors you. The word is what will anchor you, guys. It keeps us from being flighty. It keeps you from leaving people that love you because they do something that you don't like. I don't know why I'm spending so much time on this, but it's important. Somebody needs to hear this today. But not only in those situations, in anything that you're building. Some of you that have it in your heart to start a business, you get all excited about it. You get ready to start it. But guess what? Tough times are going to come. Do you have a word? What is God's word over your life? What has he said? You know, the only thing that has kept me in Sacramento is the word of God. Because there are times when Satan tried to run me out of this city. There are times when it got so tough. We wanted to quit with every ounce of our being. But the word kept us anchored. And I'm so glad because I don't know where our family would be if we did not allow the word of God over our life to keep us anchored in our purpose. So I'm preaching this so strong because some of you don't have that anchor. You're only here now until something happens and then you're going to float somewhere else. And we've got people that float from relationship to relationship to relationship with no anchor. Listen, you need an anchor. And the anchor is to be that word of God in your life. That whatever you do, you plant yourself in the word and you build on his word. And then when the rains come, the floods rise, you're going to be all right. Tell the other neighbor you're going to be all right. So build your life on the word of God. So here's how we're going to know here who are the wise and who are the foolish. What was Jesus talking about? Jesus was trying to get us to build on the word because it allows you to be different. It allows you to be different. You know what the saddest thing is right now in America is in most cases you can't tell the Christians from those that don't know God. Yeah. You can't tell. The lives are just as jacked up. And it shouldn't be that way. The reason Jesus is giving us his word, think about the reason Jesus came to earth. Jesus didn't just come, number one, to reveal the Father. He didn't just come to win back the lost. He also came to reveal the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom? The kingdom, we say it all the time, is God's way of doing things. It is how heaven works. It is why Jesus told you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? What is the whole thing he's trying to get us to do? To bring heaven to the earth so our lives can be different, can be better. John 10:10. I've come to give you an abundant life. The Message Bible says a better life than you could ever dream of. That was Jesus's mission statement. It doesn't make sense for his children to not have better lives than those that don't serve him. The reason many of us don't is because we don't build on his word. And we need to change that. And the reason we need to change that is because Jesus wants you to be fruitful. I said this last week, and I say it all the time. I say it everywhere I go and preach around the world. When you have to ask yourself from time to time, when was the last time I led somebody to Jesus personally? Not through my church, not on a missions trip, through my life. When was the last time? You got to ask yourself that from time to time. Because what it is, it's a checkup. Am I being fruitful with this message that Jesus has given me? Or am I falling into the way, the ditch that begins to be where I'm just a religious Pharisee, doing things but having no fruit? Are you with me today? Got real quiet up in here. That's okay if you're taking inventory. Because this is something that we must change. Because the greatest blessing is found in what we give away, not in what we receive. And so building our life on the Word should cause our lives to look different, which should mean this. Our marriages should look different than theirs out there. Our kids should be different than kids out there. Are you with me today? Our finances should be different than those out there. Our businesses should be marked by the blessing of God. Are you with me today? And so Jesus tries to get us, he tries to say, hey, this is how you can do it. He teaches us the kingdom. But here's what we do when we're foolish. We hear his teachings and we go, yeah, but I don't know about that. Because he'll say things like, bring a tithe into the storehouse so that I can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot receive. And we've got people saved 20 years still struggling with that kingdom principle. And then we wonder why we're just as broke as the Satanists living down the street. Shouldn't be like that. Somebody's going, you know about the Satanists down the street? Shouldn't be like that. It should be that the kingdom, operating things the way heaven does, opens up heaven to us. Are you with me today? So let me prove this to you. Daniel chapter 1, 6 and 9. This is the greatest proof you're going to see in the Bible. This is the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these Hebrews go into captivity in Babylon. Basically, it's this. Picture this. You got five corn-fed country boys that grew up on a farm. All they knew is farming, sowing and reaping, getting dirty, and they go into captivity and they get marched on Broadway in New York City, Babylon. And Babylon was the most technologically advanced nation on the planet at the time. I mean, there was technologies, the Bible says, that Babylon had that the rest of the world did not have. And so you take these guys from the backwoods over here, and they're being brought into this kingdom, and they're in awe at the pyramids, the buildings, the hanging gardens, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, and they're seeing all this stuff. It would have been real easy to do whatever these people told them to do. But look what happens in Daniel's life. Verse 6, he says, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. They even renamed him. And he gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azira Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart, here it is, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So what happens here is Daniel says, you know what? I'm gonna be here in this kingdom, but I am not going to eat of the king's delicacies, nor will I eat his meat. You know what that stands for? He says, I will not take on your doctrines. I will not take on your ways. I will not take on all the things that you use to build this kingdom. I'm not under that. He said, give me, and he gave him a strict a diet that he was to eat. And that diet was representative of his own theology, his own doctrine. This is how I'm going to live my life. And the Bible says when they came back to check on all the slaves, all the people there, they saw a difference in Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, what this is an example is this. Is there a difference in you? If I sat before your boss, would he be able to tell me, there's a difference in this cat? There's something different about her. She ain't always gossiping. She ain't always coming with an attitude. She doesn't approach, oh, come on, are you tracking with me today? See, some of us, we're just feasting on the doctrines of the world. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. Whatever's on the news, you believe it. You know, whatever the media throws your way, you're just eating it up. Oh, yeah, and you go on Facebook and showing just how foolish you are. I tell you this right now. We've got to learn to live by the Word of God, build by the Word of God, and there'll be a difference between us and them. And there should be. They should be able to notice the difference just by driving by your house. Why is your house the most jacked up on the block? How come your house is the only lawn that ain't been cut? How come you ain't? How come you have not trimmed your hedges? Oh, it got real quiet up in here. Why is your car always dirty? The neighbor kids come by, wash me, please. They put that. Are you tracking with me today? Are you seeing? I know this is challenging in a lot of ways, but listen, if we learn to live by the wisdom of God, there should be a difference in us. Should be a difference in us. And here's the thing. We're fools if we hear a word like this and don't heed it. So what God is doing this morning is he's given us an opportunity to come out of foolishness. He's given us an opportunity. This is your day. This is the last day you woke up a fool. Oh, come on, somebody. From this moment forward, we're waking up a wise woman, a wise man, if you just begin to heed the word of God and build your life on it. Because some of you in here, as I look out over the congregation, I see two of you. I see two of you. Am I just talking about the twins? It's not just because I was looking over here. But I see two of you. I see one of you that's a son. That's the Sunday you. That's the I'm around Christians you. And then I see another you is the you that you are when no Christians are around you. That don't make no sense. That's a double-minded man. And the Bible says you're unstable in all of your ways. Ask your wife. Ask your husband. Ask your kids. They'll tell you the same thing. You're unstable, mama. That's foolish. That is foolishness. Come up out of that. See, a person that has lives like that, they don't build on God's word. They don't build on God's word. They're building on their flesh. And they're just kind of doing the God thing as a means of hopefully making it into heaven. Listen, you got this wrong. Some preacher done lied to you. This is not just about making it into heaven. This is about experiencing heaven on earth. Are you tracking with me today? So Daniel gives us proof. You don't have to live like they do. God will bless you and promote you and make you different so that you can be promoted. And we know the story of Daniel. He goes all the way to the palace. God uses him all the way. Goes all from the bottom to the top. Come on. Brought him all the way up because he said, I'm not going to submit to your ways. I'm going to do things. I'm going to live by God's principles. Now, let me leave you here with this last parable here that the Bible talks about in Matthew 25. It's the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And there's been a lot preached about this through the years, but I think God gave me something that I want you to just catch as we're talking about being foolish or wise. It says here, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, if I do that, there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. It's a very profound parable here that Jesus taught. He's talking about these virgins, these bridesmaids, so to speak. And when, you know, when you read it at first, it's kind of like, what's all this about? But when you study it out a little bit and you understand about the Hebrew ceremony of a wedding, it begins to make more sense. You see, in a Hebrew processional or in a wedding, when two people were coming together, they usually did these after dark processions through the streets. to where the wedding party would gather together, and the bridegroom or the groom would come down the streets, kind of just as a parade, so to speak, as a declaration that I'm about to go in and marry a woman that is going to be mine forever. Come on, somebody. And they had this ceremony in which they came out, and it, a lot of times it was after dark, and the people that were invited to the wedding, listen now, the way that you could tell if you were a part of the wedding party was if you had a torch. And if you did not have a torch, it was safe to say that you were not part of the wedding party. You were could have been a wedding crasher or something like that. So it's, and some of y'all have done that before, amen. It was significant that if you had a torch and it was burning, you belonged at the wedding ceremony. So therein you could see the problem and why these five women were fools. Because they took a torch, but they didn't bring the oil. Tell your neighbor right now, that's dumb. That's just straight dumb right there. Tell him, go ahead and tell him, that's dumb. So here's the situation. They have the apparatus to shine, yet they have no oil. Tell your other neighbor, that's dumb. That is so dumb. That is just really dumb. Now hold on a minute, because some of us in this room, we do the exact same thing. You have the ability to shine. And what is your shine supposed to announce? That the groom is coming for his bride. Who is the groom? Jesus the Christ. He's coming. How many know the Bible tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel and share the good news and make disciples of all nations? How many are doing it? Don't raise your hand. See, in a lot of ways, we're just as foolish as the five virgins. You got an apparatus. It's called your life. You have the Holy Spirit. He's called your oil, the anointing. All he wants to do is put your life on display, bless your socks off, show everybody the fruit of a life that is lived with God so that you could be lifted up and that everybody can begin to see that thing is shining bright. It gives testimony that there is a God in heaven. And he has a son named Jesus. And because you linked your life to his, your torch is shining bright. That's what it's supposed to be. But this is where the fools get involved. This is where the fools get involved. And they make it just about coming to church. Just, I'm a Christian. I'll post a scripture every now and again. I'll post one of them, like I said, them pictures of eagles with a little Isaiah 52 scripture. And that's the extent of your walk. That's the extent of your torch. You better get some oil. You better get some oil. Because I don't want to be one of those 10 virgins that was just had the ability to be a part of the party, showing off the bridegroom, but because they didn't follow the instructions, the word, all they're carrying around is torches with no flame. And the sad part is at the end of the story, the groom comes, and he shuts the door behind him. And there's a few other things. Before I get into that, let me close on this. There's a few other things you need to catch with this. Number one, the torches of the wise were burning bright because they had oil. See, oil comes from obeying God's word. It comes from obeying God's word. You got to check your oil. Not the air, not the oil in your hair, not that. You should check that too sometimes. Or do a quick forehead check sometimes. You got to do that sometimes. I got to do that sometimes. I'm not talking about checking that oil or the oil in your car. You got to check the oil of your life. The anointing is produced when I obey God's word. The torches of the wise were burning bright because they had oil. They were obeying the word. The fool's torches could not produce light or oil. Did you know that's a lot of our lives? As much as you go to church, you don't influence anybody. You don't help anybody. You're not doing anything for anybody. And your life's not shining bright. And you're trying. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put on masks. We're trying to front. Let me look blessed in front of my church folks. Let me look blessed in front of this person and that person. We spend so much time trying to look blessed. Your Facebook posts and your Instagram, you're trying hard just to show that you're good, but you're really not good. And anybody with a little bit of discernment can tell. Anybody. And we spend all this time and effort in fronting. If you would just put time and effort in being, you could have what you say you have. And you'll be more fruitful. Can I get an amen on that? So fools' torches could not produce light because there's no oil. The fools, here's this thing about the story too. The fools relied on their association with the wise to get in to the party. So here it is. The 10 bridesmaids, 5 of them got oil. The other ones don't. The other ones that don't are like, hey, Pastor Cheeto, give me some oil. Hey, Jessica, let me get some oil real quick. Hook me up. You can see it now. Then you're laughing. Oh, I got to get it. Yeah. You got that friend I always want to hook up? I had a friend, every time we get out of church, we go out to eat. You know, he'd be like, hey, baby, his idea too. Hey, let's go get some food. We go down there. He sit down. Oh, you got me? I'm like, oh, man, again? All the time, man, you know? He was so bad when we would sit in church, the offering plate would come around. He'd look at me and say, hey, you got me? You think I'm joking. I bust out $2. Here you go, man. Put that in there. That's my blessing, not yours. He would do that. Vince knows. He would do that. I'm telling you, we got to look at this the right way. So the guys, the fools without the torches, they were counting on their association. I don't have oil, but I go to Elevate Life Church. Smile at me now. I don't got any oil, but I was raised in the Assembly of God. I don't got any oil, but my mama pray. My water boy impression right there. Mama's praying. See, we're counting on that. We're counting on our associations. Well, my grandpa, you know, he started churches, but you got to have oil. You got to have oil. See, that's what the fools were doing. The fools wanted to get let in because of their association. But you know what the wise person's got to do? I got to get my own oil. Thank God I had a grandpa that had oil, but I need my own oil. Thank God I got a praying mama. She got her oil. I got to get my oil. Some of you young people, you better get some oil. I don't mean on your forehead either. I just think you need real oil. Are you tracking with me today? Eddie, help me come up right now and play behind us here. The fools relied on their association with the wise. They rely. Here's the problem with a lot of fools. They rely on church too much. They rely on these 2 hours way too much. Let me tell you something. These are good 2 hours. This is time, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. But if this is all you got, you better get some more. Because you can't live on this. You're saying this isn't enough just to get you some oil. You got to spend time with the Lord. You got to have your relationship with Him. And much more than here's the big thing. Some of y'all do devotions and it's dry and dead and it's meaningless. Think about relationship. If I woke up every morning and said to my wife, hi, how are you? Things are going good. I'm going to work today. I'll see you later. Mwah. And I did that every day, we wouldn't have a relationship. Some of you do that every day with God. You read His word. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Father. Bless me. Help me. Bye. And then I did my devos. You know what a relationship is? A relationship is speaking and listening. And here's the other thing, responding. You know what some of you are missing from your devotional life? The obedience of doing what Jesus tells you in your devos. Because you read it, you just don't do it. That doesn't produce oil. But as a matter of fact, that makes you a fool. But when somebody hears the word, does it, Jesus says you're wise. Some people rely on their associations way too much. It's time to get your own oil today. This is the last morning you woke up a fool. Make a decision. From here on, I'm going to build my life with the wise. I'm going to build my life on the word of God. But here's the biggest thing about this parable that I want you to catch today. They missed their assignment, and it severed their relationship with the groom. See, they'd been given an assignment. They're in the wedding party, just like y'all are. In heaven, we'll be in that wedding party. And they had one job. Tell your neighbor, just one job. Bring the oil, man. Light the torch. Let it shine. That's it. Bring the oil. Let it shine. But you know what? They disobeyed. So when it was time for their light to shine, they had no oil to make it shine. They had to leave their post, their mission. And because they left their mission, it severed their relationship with the groom. And what I just described is where some of you in this room are at. You have no relationship with the groom because you've left your mission. You leave the mission God gives you, it severs the relationship that you have with him. Yeah, you can do your devos every day. Devos don't, that doesn't ensure a relationship with Jesus. That's a part of it. Yeah, you come to church every Sunday. That doesn't ensure a relationship with Jesus. It's a part of it. But what brings relationship is response. Are you doing what he's telling you to do? Are you staying on mission with what he's given your life to do, your marriage to do, your ministry to do, your business to do? Because if you sever that mission like these people did, they had to leave their mission and go try to get some oil. See, they left that when the groom came. They missed their connection. I don't want to see that happen to you in this place. I don't want to see that. I don't want to stand before God in heaven someday, look around, and I only see half the church because the other half wanted to be fools. I don't want to see that. I want to see ELC family. We're going to have our own neighborhood in heaven. Come on, somebody. I can't wait for those days. But see, what does it take? It takes you and I being willing to build our lives on God's word. That means this: if God's word trumps how I feel, God's word trumps what I want sometimes. And if I build on his word, it makes me wise. If I keep making fleshly excuses, yeah, but this, yeah, but what about that? You keep building on that sand and we'll see how things go. And Jesus already prophesied how things will go. Your house will fall. Your life will fall. So what I'm trying to end with this morning is this: build your life on God's word. His word is so vast, it has something to say about everything in your life. It has something to say about how to be a good friend. It has something to say about how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to pick a mate. It has something to say about how to start a business, how to raise your kids. When was the last time you took a break from what you were doing and took a moment to get God's wisdom on what you're putting your hand to do? Most of us just go with the flow. Well, my cousin did it this way. Your cousin's not a part of the kingdom. Build on the word of God. Let's all stand on our feet this morning. How many got something this morning? Amen. Listen, let me just pray for you for a moment. Father, I just pray over every person in here. This word is not set up to offend, but simply for us to make a decision. A line has been drawn in the sand. Do I want to be counted as one of the wise with Jesus? Or do I want to continue to be a hearer of the word and not do it? Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would take the blinders off and take the earplugs out of people that have been unable to hear your voice because they refuse to build on your word. Father, you told us, you prophesied that if we would build on your word, when the rains came, when the floods come, we will still stand. But if we build on the flesh, simply on our intellect, on our condition, you also said, Lord, our life would fall flat. And some of us in this room have experienced that, and we don't want to repeat it. Father, I just pray right now, Lord God, that as your word has been spoken, you would help us, strengthen us to live a life based and founded on your word. And I got to ask this today, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just for the sake of privacy. Maybe you're here today and you need to come back to Jesus. Maybe you need to make his way your way again. Maybe you've gotten off of your mission. Maybe you've walked away from this thing and you've made it just a religious little thing you do. Listen, that's foolish. Come back to him. He's not mad at you. He's not going to rub your nose in it. He's simply going to put you on the path to success. He's going to put you on the path that he created you for. What is it in your life that you keep hearing but you won't obey? Maybe it's giving your life to him. And if you're here today with nobody looking around and you'd say, Pastor, I need to give my life to God. I need to give my life back to God. Just slip up a hand so I can pray for you right where you're at there. Yeah, I see that. I see that hand. I see that there. I see that. I see those hands. Yes. Yes. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today, but I want you to pray this with me. It's a very personal decision. Father, everybody say this. Say, Father, I come before you. I've heard your word today, and I haven't been building on your word. I need you. I want to be considered wise and not foolish. I want to build my life on your word, but I need your help. Take away my shame. Forgive me for my sins. And come into my life. Make me whole. And teach me how to follow you. In Jesus' name. Come on, just lift your hands right now and just thank him for that. Our hands raised all over this place right now. Father, we just thank you that right where they were at, as they prayed that prayer, you are coming into their life afresh, and you will strengthen them to build their life on your word. And I pray that as they do, Lord Jesus, as they put their roots in you, you will keep them anchored. You will bless their life. You will make them be fruitful, and they will multiply in their mission that you've given them, Lord God. We ask this in your name. And everybody said, come on, give God a good praise clap in here today.